session three at Stanford, California, with Professor Eric Voglin at his home on Sonoma Terrace. This will be a recording of the materials to be included in the first section of the volume, which is subtitled Context. The date is June 26, 1973.
I attended the University of Vienna in the law faculty from 1919 to the completion of my doctorate in 1922. The atmosphere of the university at the time was determined by the breakdown of the Austro-Hungarian Empire after the end of the First World War. The university, as to its composition, was still the university of the capital of the empire and reflected in its scholarship and the personal attitude of the professors this metropolitan atmosphere. At the time when I was a student and throughout the 1920s, or rather until the effects of National Socialism made themselves felt in the early 30s, Vienna still had an enormous intellectual horizon and was leading in science internationally in a number of fields. There was, now comes an enumeration, first, Kelsen's theory of pure law, represented by Kelsen himself and the growing number of younger men whom he had educated, especially Ferdros.
How do you spell that?
V-E-R-D-R-O-S-H, and Merkel. Then there was the Austrian school of marginal utility. Böhm Bawerk had already died, but Leopold von Wieser was still the grand old man who gave the principal course in economic theory. Among the younger economists, there was Ludwig von Mises, famous by his development of money theory. Joseph Schumpeter was in Graz at the time, but his work, of course, was read. Among the further intellectual and spiritual component that would impress themselves on the young man at the time was the school of theoretical physics, going back to Ernst Mach, and represented at the time by Flick. An important intellectual force in this circle was Wittgenstein, who by that time already had left for England. There further must be mentioned the Austrian Institut für Geschichtsforschung, represented by Dobsch, Alfons Dobsch, who at that time had attained international fame through his work on the Carolingian history of economics. Den Titel werde ich Ihnen dann geben. Among the younger men, there was the rising force of Otto Brunner, who later became famous by, and then I give you the titles of the books. A further glory of the University of Vienna at the time was the history of art, represented by Dvorak and Strigovsky. Dvorak himself had already died at the time when I came to the university, but Strigovsky was active. I had with him courses in the Renaissance history of art, and what especially was attractive about him was his interest in Near Eastern art, of which his great work about Armenia, two-volume work on Armenia, is a great document. At the same time, there was flourishing in Vienna the Institute for Urgeschichte, and here you must now leave a gap, because I don't remember at the moment the name of that man, a very important person, who later became Minister of Education and helped me when I to get out. Then he was a National Socialist Minister of Education. He then had to flee later to Argentina. And died there recently.
Okay, so I'll leave a space for you.
Yeah.
Let's see how you sound. Huh?
Yeah. More on the fringe, as far as I am concerned, where such famous institutions as the Institute for Byzantine Music under Egon Veles, with whom I later got acquainted. After the National Socialist takeover, Egon Veles went to Oxford. A further inevitable massive influence was represented by the psychologists. I heard the courses, I had the courses with Svoboda, who was very much addicted to the theory of rhythms that had been developed by Fries, who in turn was a close friend of Sigmund Freud. As a background into the psychology of Svoboda, entered his early friendship with Otto Weininger. The works of Otto Weininger were read by everybody at the time. The most important influence in psychology at the time, of course, was given through the presence of Sigmund Freud. I did not belong to the circle of Freud and have never met him, but I knew quite a few of the younger men who had been trained by him. The most important at the time whom I knew were Heinz Hartmann, who later came to New York, Robert Welder, who later established himself in Philadelphia, and Kries, who later went to Australia. Now let us come to the composition of the law school and the influences which had the more immediate impact on me. The great intellectual figures by whom the students were attracted at the time were Hans Kelsen, the lawyer and author of and maker of the Austrian Constitution, and Ottmar Spang, the sociologist, who had developed his theory of universalism and had attempted a structural analysis of the economy of a people, going in its content far beyond the subject matter dealt with by the more restricted marginal utility theory. As a third figure who attracted the students in masses must be mentioned Karl Grünberg, a stalwart of the social democracy. In the wake of the upheaval through the breakup of the empire and the establishment of the republic, with its ascendancy of the Social Democratic Party, an important figure had become the chief ideologist of the Social Democrats, Max Adler. More on the periphery, as far as I was concerned, were a number of excellent lawyers, as for instance Strizova in international law, Schei, Schey, who had conducted the reform of the civil code, and Hupka in civil procedure. I had registered as a student for the curriculum that would lead to the doctorate Paul. My decision to take these courses leading to the doctorate in political science were partly economic, partly matters of principle. As far as economics are concerned, I was very poor, and the doctorate that could be finished within 3 years had a definite appeal. The law doctorate would have required 4 years. The matter of principle was a vague but strong impulse, even at that time, that I would embark on a career in science. The doctorate of law had the temptation that ultimately one would land, if one did not become an independent lawyer, in a civil service position. And I did not want to become a civil servant. The choice of political science was furthermore determined by the attraction of the faculty, in which such famous men as Kelsen and Spahn were to be found. An alternative that was seriously considered by myself and by my father at the time was to go into physics and mathematics. But politics had a stronger pull. Still, after I had finished the doctorate in political science, I enrolled in the philosophical faculty in mathematics courses, especially with Furtwängler in Funktionen theory. But these studies were turned out to be not more than desultory, because I simply could not become enthusiastic about mathematical problems. During these 3 years began to form the personal relations with students of my own age, some of them not more than 1 or 2 years older, and by virtue of that slight age difference, coming back from military service, which had endowed, given them a maturity which people as I, who had just escaped the military service by age, found attractive. As occasions on which the relations were formed were the courses we heard in common, and especially the seminars. 3 of these seminars were of major importance for the later cohesion among the group of young men about which I have to talk. I mentioned first the seminar with Ottmar Spahn, not because it was the most important under this aspect, but because here I got acquainted with some people who later dropped out of my life. The general climate of the Spahn group and of the young people attracted by Spahn was Romanticism and German idealism with a strong touch of nationalism. Some of these people later got involved in National Socialism or in even more radical national movements opposed to National Socialism. At the time when the Hitler problem became virulent in Austria, the contacts with these people thinned out, faded out, and were not resumed later. Still, I have to mention that because to Spahn and the work in his seminar, and especially in his private seminar, which I attended through several years, I owe my acquaintance with the classic philosophers, Plato and Aristotle, and with the German idealistic systems of Fichte, Hegel, and Schelling. More important for my later life, apparently because it met with my own inclinations, were the seminars of Kelsen and Mises. Through the Kelsen seminar and again the private seminar, especially the private seminar, were formed the connections with its older members, especially Alfred von Ferdros and Adolf Merkel. Ferdros, the international lawyer, Merkel, administrative lawyer. Among the people closer to my own age group were Alfred Schütz, who later became sociologist at the professor of sociology at the New York School of Social Research, New School of Social Research. Emanuel Winternitz, who, after we were all thrown out by Hitler, became the curator of the collection of musical instruments in the Metropolitan Museum, professor at the New School of Social Research, and Fritz Schreier, who, when he came to America, entered the independent business of marketing and advertising.